Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I preach, and as I continue to preach in your hearing, a series within a longer series, Second Coming, Soberness, Watchfulness, and the Power of Prayer. Part 2, Praying Through the Bible, message number 412 in this series. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The Word of God reads, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Holy Father God in heaven, we know that thou art there. We know that you're here. We pray in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is sitting at your right hand, and he is here. We thank you for the person and presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the privilege and the power of prayer. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor that you came the first time and that you will come again in your time. Holy Father God, we give you all of the glory, the praise and honor, for all of it is due your name, for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We individually and collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. Where our hearts and minds are not right with you, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, for those of us who already have our daily bread, we thank you for it. For those who need daily bread, we pray that you'll work a divine miracle and give it to them, and give them some spiritual bread as well to march on with. We pray that you would deliver each and every one of us here and out there from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit right now to repent of sin, to simply change our mind about the sin we are tempted to do and not do it, but to turn away from it. Help us to pray, help us to humble ourselves, help us to seek your face as believers. Help us to turn from our wicked ways, our hypocrisy, our phoniness, lies and dishonesty, unchristian attitudes, bad spirits, lying, dishonesty, deceit, and living a lie. Lord, break us and make us and mold us to be what you would have us to be. Be thorough with us, Lord. Be thorough with us. Crush us all down to the ground from off of our proud high horses and prosperity gospel foolishness. Cleanse us through the blood of Christ. And Lord, I have not heard the song, but I thank you for the title of the song that the artist Kanye West came out with last night or yesterday or earlier this week, titled "Washers in the Blood." We need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We need to be made whiter than snow through the blood of Christ once we confess our sins and repent as Christians. And for those who are not Christians, once they believe in you, they need to be washed in the blood of Christ, cleansed from all sin. And when we're cleansed of all sin, we're cleansed of the guilt of it. And Lord, that's a beautiful thing, and we thank you for it. And so, Holy Father God, we pray, speak to our hearts Lord, help us down. Help us to get down to where the rubber meets the road when it comes down to the power of prayer and how we need prayer in times like these. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Heal the sick. Comfort the those who are grieving. And glorify your holy name in the midst of it all. Lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you for being here today. We thank God for you. We had over 7,000 devices in the previous service. No telling how many thousands of people. And I would imagine we'll have just as many or more in this service across all platforms. And so we thank God for you. Dr. Matthew Westerholm said, "The church prays because it is in need of her rescuing Savior. In praying for Christ's return, believers recognize something quite apparent to God's own perspective." The current fallen state of the world cannot be redeemed by additional human ingenuity or effort. And people are finding that out in this plague. Let us lift our eyes and voice to the Lord beyond the plane of our many hurdles. Pardon me. And hopes, and pray for his return, but help us to occupy till he comes. Ladies and gentlemen, on last week I dealt with the introduction to this new series within a series, Second Coming, the Second Coming, Soberness, Watchfulness, and the Power of Prayer, Part 2 of the larger series, Praying Through the Bible, Message Number 412. And in our last series of messages, we looked at James's instructions regarding the fervent prayer of faith. Now we are looking at Peter's instructions on prayer to Christians in Asia Minor about how they should live in light of the end times. In connection to prayer. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice, first of all, note that the end of all things is drawing near. Peter is talking about the coming apocalypse, the rapture of the church, the rapture of the saints, and the second coming of Christ. Peter, just like us, did not know exactly when Jesus was coming back. He didn't know. Jesus said he didn't know when he was here. And we certainly don't know. Nor was Peter making a prediction. Jesus had told the apostles, including Peter, in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, that it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Peter was connecting the urgency of prayer with the coming end of the age, which started when he was living. Jesus did the same in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, where he said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Not only that, but a passage that I'm very familiar with, because when I traveled around the world, I would begin almost every revival meeting, as we used to call them, with a sermon on prayer. And I would come from Luke 18. Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you feel like fainting in these last days? Do you feel like giving up? Some of you preachers, right before it's time for you to preach, do you ever feel like you can't go through with it anymore? You can't do it anymore? You're starting to faint. And so instead of fainting, you need to start praying. For Jesus Christ said, he gave a parable to this end, to this purpose, to this aim, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The only solution to fainting or feeling like you're fainting or quitting is to pray. Not drugs, not alcohol, not pornography, not sex. Nothing else. Not talking with your Ace Boone Coon preacher friends. The only solution to not fainting, my dear friends, is prayer. Jesus gave a parable to this end, to this purpose, to this aim, that men, that includes women, boys and girls, ought not to faint. Men ought to pray and not to faint. If you quit praying, you will start fainting and quitting on God. And that's what's happening to so many, yes, of God's people today. Another thing to notice is that Peter was writing to persecuted Christians, to all Christians, but especially to persecuted Christians. Jesus said the persecution of Christians would be one of the signs of the second coming and the end of the world in his Olivet Discourse. Jesus also noted wars, famines, and earthquakes as signs of the end times. But he also told the apostles that despite these things, the end is not yet. So Peter was encouraging these suffering saints in light of their persecution which he knew would come before the end times. Are you suffering from persecution? Are you being persecuted on the job which you got laid off of, and then they called you back because of the great reopening, which has been a total failure and flop, and now for the second time they have laid you off? But were you persecuted on that job because you are a Christian? Are you being persecuted in your family because you are a true blue Christian? Are you being persecuted even in your church because you are a true blue Christian? People ostracize you. They don't want to be bothered with you because you, in their minds, take it too far. Dr. David Harrell said, now some would say he missed this by about 2,000 years and counting. No, not at all. That would be wrong. The term END, end, in the original Greek, does not necessarily mean the end or cessation of some chronological period of time, but rather it is the idea of fulfillment, of completion, of achievement, of finishing something, of consummation. It is the idea that an objective is about to be obtained, something that is being fulfilled, a goal that is about to be reached. And in this context, it is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will happen. He came the first time. And we still, those of us who are truly born again and say, we still marvel at that. So you know he's coming the second time when God gets good and ready. And you're not God, so you have no power over this. But he is coming back. You can rest assured. And so God wants us to, in the light of the second coming of Christ, to do what? To be sober-minded, to be watchful, and to pray. It is, he says, at hand. The idea there is that the Lord's return is forthcoming. You can bank on it. You can count on it. It can happen at any time. Get ready, get ready, get ready, in the words of one preacher. It is impending. It is on the way. Just hang in there. Don't quit. Don't faint. Keep on praying. Be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Stay on point. And this is a huge problem among saints, particularly when the heat is on. And we have a little heat on us right now. People lose it. They begin to waver. They begin to wonder, they begin to faint, they begin to throw in the towel, they begin to quit. Some of us, not only just the regular secular Americans, but some of us who claim to be Christians, we can't take much. We're undisciplined disciples. We don't like any hardship at all. We're from the prosperity gospel group. But everything is supposed to go our way. We're the head and not the tail. We're God's special children. Are you really? Why did you stop preaching then as soon as the plague came in? Only reason why you contact people in the church is to get money. You don't preach anymore. You don't sing anymore. All true Christians are still going on with the church. Did you hear me? All true believers in Christ, all of God's children, are still serving God and serving Christ. They have church every morning. They pray. They read the Bible. They sing a song of Zion. And they're still holding up the bloodstained banner. They're praying without ceasing. In fact, they're praying more now than ever. The true preachers of God, they're preaching more now than ever. You know why? Because God told them to. God said, you better preach. You better preach now. That's right, you better preach in an empty building. If you love me, all of the preachers who love Jesus, they preach it in an empty building. They will get on a big old platform and preach harder and better than they ever preached in their lives. I know some. Oh, the first lady is still the first lady. She's still supporting her husband. She's right there with him. She's praying. She may not be able to do much else, but she's praying and she's taking care of her husband and taking care of the children and managing the house. She's right there with them if she's saved and born again. The born again teenagers and young people, they still serving God. They're not quitting. The singles ministry is still going on and in the right way without hooking up with a boo and trying to get through with a boo. When we all know if you're born again, that's going to be nothing but trouble and hell to pay. The true people of God are still marching on with the bloodstained banner. We're washed in the blood. Ain't nothing changed. We're still preaching. We're still singing. We're still praying. We're still reading the Bible and striving to obey it. Amen, somebody. It is approaching the second coming of Christ. And certainly we are much closer to it today than when these words were first penned. And also in the original language, this is in the perfect tense. So it is the idea here that the fulfillment or consummation of an objective is approaching. You might use the term imminent with this. The first part of the second coming is imminent, the rapture of the church. The Lord can come back at any time and take his church back with him. I still believe in the rapture. I do not necessarily believe that this plague has anything to do with the rapture. If anything, it has something a whole lot to do with getting the church ready to get raptured. If anything, because we're not rapture ready. Most of us are not rapture ready. Rapture what? You see, beloved, this is the profound incentive for each of us to love the Lord and to love those that he loves, because the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. He's coming back. So ask yourself right now, does this really mock your life? Are you really thinking about and looking forward to the second coming of Christ to the point that you're willing to be sober-minded, watchful, and prayerful? Do you have a sense of vigilance, watchfulness in your life? Do you live in anticipation for the Lord's return? Or is everything ho-hum to you? We need to live with a sense of divine urgency in light of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be praying without ceasing. In fact, we ought to be praying more now than ever. We are to live and work with a continual prayerful watching for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living in that manner? Or is it all about you? And you're worried about what's happening in the world, and you're worried about what's happening to you and your family, and what are you going to do next? It's all about you and nobody else. God is not even in the picture, but yet you claim to be a Christian. Some of you can't pray because you're so wrapped up in debt, trying to impress people, trying to hold on, trying to live up to the fake it and make it prosperity gospel crowd still. May I lovingly encourage you and try to help you. You need to downsize. You need to humble yourself down, and you need to downsize so that you won't be worried about all that. Get yourself into an inexpensive situation where you don't have a huge mortgage or huge rent to pay or a car note at all, according to Dave Ramsey, so that you can focus your attention on God and on the second coming of Christ, watchfulness, soberness, praying without ceasing, and get your mind off of all of the materialistic foolishness that you got your mind on. Some of you can't even live this life because you're living the life of the worldlings and people who don't even know, like the people who don't even know God. Your Savior had no place to lay his head. He wants you to have a place, but it does not have to be a big mansion on Pork Chop Hill. Humble yourself down. This is all about down now. Humble yourself down. Get down on your knees and pray. And then you need to downsize so that you can focus back on God, on Jesus, and not yourself. How about it, dear friend? Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege and the peace and the power of prayer. Lord, help your true Christians to come back to it. Help them to be reminded of your holy word that says you gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That you want us to stop worrying and fretting and start praying. Holy Father God, continue to have mercy and grace upon us. Please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to humble ourselves down. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Lord, help us to get back to the excitement we had about your coming back when we first got saved. And in light of that, Lord, help us to be sober-minded. Help us to take every day seriously and not take one day for granted. Help us, Lord, to be watchful. Help us to be vigilant. And help us to be prayerful. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you're with us on this Wednesday and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins as your Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, except the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Right now, as I speak, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, in one of his sermons on hell, his many sermons on hell, in fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is bad news. Hell is a place of weeping. Jesus Christ said it is a place of weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Jesus Christ in another sermon on hell said it is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you from the same lips of Jesus Christ, found in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe in Jesus Christ. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me and for everybody in the world, so that we can live eternally with him in heaven. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today. Call on his name, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13. These are the verses that stand out in my heart and mind like it was today. For some 40 years ago, I remember the soul winner, Michael Lewis, showing me from the Bible these verses that I'm showing you now. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. To be with God, to be with Jesus, to be with the angels, to be with the beloved family, the people of God, on streets of gold. So pure, you can see right through them. So, dear friend, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered and he bled and died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If you don't know how to pray the sinner's prayer, I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer. You just believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. Please follow me in the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Turn this way over here. Turn this way. And mean it from your heart. And God will save your soul. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. And so therefore I am guilty and I deserve to go to hell. For some of the sins, the commandments that I have broken is that I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have coveted and lusted in my heart for people and things before. Lord, at times I have dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed my parents. And Holy Father God, I have disrespected you by taking your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in your holy Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from hell, which I deserve. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins past. And help me to turn away from my old sinful and wicked life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, if you just believed in Jesus Christ that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, and you prayed that prayer with me, the sinner's prayer, and meant it from your heart, I declare to you, dear friend, that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell. And you're on your way to heaven by the grace of God, not by anything you have done. Not because you became a church member, not because you gave money to the church, not because of anything you've done. Simply by the grace of God, it is a free gift, the free gift of salvation. So, dear friend, welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book free of charge, download it free of charge, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.